Chooch, before lunch, I went through the central words for Unit 18. We talked about how to describe people, whether people are tall or short in height, and whether they have long or short hair. Next, I want to talk about the five endings that we're focusing on in this unit, and then we will talk about hair color, skin color, and wearing eyeglasses. Let's look more closely at these five endings. The five endings we're focusing on in this unit are cook, chemch, yik, uch, and itch. The meanings of these endings roughly are cook, look like or resemble, chemch, something round or chunky in shape, yik, describing the head hair on the head, uch, the face, at the face, itch, wearing something. I'm going to illustrate these endings using just the roots of the words tupkuk and tlesuk, black and white. Tupkuk, tlesuk. The root of tupkuk is tupk. The root of tlesuk is tlis or tlits. So sometimes the root for white has an S, tlis, tlesuk. Sometimes it has a C, tlits. If there were a word tutupkuk, it would mean looking black. Blackish. I've never heard that word before, but I think it would be used to describe something that is darker than usual or is almost black but not completely black. If it's a word, tutupkuk. Tlitlitskuk is a word. It literally means looks white, and it is the word for flour in most dialects. That is the kind of flour we make bread out of. Flour is called tlitlitskuk. Literally looks white. Tlitlitskuk. Please bring up gray hair again when we are talking about hair color. Let's move on to chemch. This is very similar in form and meaning to the other chemch that we've seen. There's the chemch that is used for counting chunky objects. That has a Q that's always pronounced. Nup. Nupkemch, atkemch, in central dialect, nupkomch, atkomch. Notice that that Q is pronounced even after consonants. Nupkomch, atkomch. This ending sounds very similar, except that it has a disappearing Q, a weak Q. The meaning of this is to describe things with round shape. So the komch with a strong Q is a counting ending. The kumth with a weak Q is a shape ending. Tupkumth describes something that is black all over. So, for example, a completely black cat or a completely black car could be described as tupkumth. Similarly, tlissumth is something that is white all over. A completely white dog or a white ball. Tlissumth. The ending yik is for head hair. Tlisik describes pure white hair. Tlisik-ish heather. Heather has pure white hair. Tlisik-ish. Tupkik-ish describes black hair. He has black hair. Tupkik-ish. Let's talk about gray hair and blonde hair. There's a special root for graying hair. That root is tsas. Hard C-A-S. Very old people have white hair. Also, some people get pure white hair. The late Simon, for example, had extremely white hair. Other people never get pure white hair. Their hair just reaches a certain grayness and then stops there. So in the Nuchonalth way of looking at hair color, there's black hair, there's white hair, and then there's graying hair, which is somewhere in between. So most middle-aged or elderly people are in the category of having graying hair. The root for that is tsas, hard C-A-S, and that works both with the suffix ik, tsasik, and with the suffix kumth, tsasumth. So people with graying hair can be described with either one of those suffixes on that special root, tsasumth or tsasik. Notice that yik is a lengthening ending. It lengthens its stem. That's why tsasik is long short, whereas chemth does not have a template, so tsasumth is short short. I don't know if particular elders have particular preferences for one of those words over the other. As far as I know, they're interchangeable. Tsasumf, tsasik. The late Stanley Sam, as Josh points out, was tsasik. This is commonly understood as an alteration of tsasik. Tsasik is a regular word for a person with graying hair. His name was Long Long, tsasik, which was said to mean the same thing, but like many names, it has some unpredictable features. Ah, yes, Josh reminds me his name was not Tsasik, it was Tsasits. Tsasits. So I don't want to go out on a limb and say that I know what Stanley's name means. True. Thanks for bringing that up and showing what I don't know, Josh. Yes, we have a question about the difference between tsasumth and tsasimth. That is a dialect thing. So Barkly Sound dialects say tsasimth, AI, tsasimth. Other central and northern dialects say tsasumth. Okay, you could check as it goes with Barkley here and also says tsasimth. Lots of endings in Nuchonal start with weak consonants. These are pronounced after vowels and nasals, but not after other consonants. We've seen several examples of this, and Kempf with a weak Q is just one more example. We also hear tlehek, tlehek. Nowadays, tlehek can describe someone with European-style reddish hair. Back in the day, tlehek would have described someone with reddish black hair. All full-blooded Nuchonal people have black hair. But some have darker black hair and some have lighter black hair. And lighter black hair is sometimes described as tlehek. So that tlehek literally means red-haired, and it can be used to describe a whole range of hair colors, from slightly reddish brown to bright red. Let's talk about blonde hair. There's no native word for blonde because there weren't any blonde Nuchonal people. Before contact, different dialects prefer different words. I know three words for blonde. Central, from Barkley Sound up to Ahauzit, the preferred word is tlietzchwik, tlietzchwik. So that's the same ending, ik meaning describing the hair. The root tlietzch means faded, so tlietzchwik is faded hair, describes light colored hair. Some northern speakers prefer chashik, chashik. That's the root of chashkitwa, which is thimbleberries, the thimbleberry bush. And apparently, the leaves of the thimbleberry bush are green on one side and sort of light pale yellow on the other side. And so the word chashik is comparing blonde hair to the light yellow color of the underside of thimbleberry leaves. And I know at least one Czechoslovak speaker who says timkik. And I can't analyze that word further, but she's quite sure that she calls blonde hair timkik. The central word for blonde hair that I just mentioned was tlietzchwik. So, for example, we could say tlietzchwikish Adam. Adam has blonde hair. Tlietzchwikish Adam. The root is tlietzch, hard lambda, I, C, round front X. Tlietzchwik means faded in color. So, it describes something that used to be a darker color but has faded. Like something you leave out in the sun. That's what tlietzchwik means. And tlietzchwik means having light colored hair. That's the best word I know for blonde hair in Ahauzit Tlokwe dialect. Our next suffix is ulh. Ulh means the face. This is used quite a lot. So one way that we've used this is in the word nachul, which means to look someone in the face. You all know the root nach. That's the root of nachuas, to see it, natsa, seeing it. Nachas, reading, has the same root. Nachul means to look someone in the face. So one thing we learned to say from Julia and the late Simon was Pluyachi atslit maxti in nachulsa sutil. I'm glad to see you in the face. That's a way of saying I'm happy to see you. I'm happy to be looking you in the face. Pluyachi atslit maxti in nachulsa sutil. Hinditinia sometimes talks about pintul. Pintush means painting the face, that is putting on makeup. Not only makeup, but face decorations for dancing, for example. We have a story A few years ago, some of us adapted a story. I believe it's a Cree story about a boy who captures the sun, and the sun has to be freed. No one can get near enough to the sun to free it because it's too hot. But eventually, a mouse is able to do it because he gets some special red paint put on his face. And we described that as Tlehoh. Tlehoh. He had red paint on his face. That's the root for red plus the ending for face. Tlehoh. I have looked around for the last few years for good words for skin color. Traditionally, Nechanolf didn't really have a range of words for skin color. It does have the word washoosh. Washoosh describes a tanned face. So this is what happens to people with who have a lot of First Nations genes. As soon as the first bright day of summer hits, boom, their faces all turn brown. That's washoosh. You might know the root wash from the word washuk or washuk, which is a word that's used in Barkley Sound for brown, also maybe in some central dialects. But the original meaning of the root wash seems to be tan, not necessarily a pure brown color, but tan. So some of us have started using tupkul and tlisuth to refer to skin color. Tupkul for very dark skin, tlisuth for very white skin, very pale skin, and washuth for everything in between. These are, except for washuth, these are not established words. Be aware of that. But the reason we've started using them is because, as far as we can tell, there are no established words for very light skin and very dark skin. Yeah, you're talking about the story of Tlehpeka. Tlehpeka was a Tlokwiat hero, and some of his descendants tell his story. He had pale skin and reddish hair, which is where he got his name. Tlehpeka means red on top. And the question is, how was his pale skin described in Nechanolth? And the answer is, I don't know, but I would like to know that. So let's look into that, and whoever finds out will tell the rest. Let's talk next about the ending itch. Itch means wearing it. And this can combine with color words to describe the color of people's clothes. So tupk itch means wearing black, and tlis itch means wearing white. Tupk itch ish ath Adam. Adam always wears black. Tlis itchut ish tlutsma'i chepchnakshiatku. A woman wears white when she gets married. Ish mai chepchnakshiatku. These are examples of itch. The second thing, itch means wearing it, and colors are only one kind of root it can combine with. There's also hush itch, which means to wear a dancing costume. There's mitl itch, which means to wear rain gear. Hluch itch is to wear a woman or girl style dress. We just had a question. What color is Geneva's hair? And I don't have a good word for that. I described it as yupmupikak, which means the color of salal berries. But this is helping to show the difference between the color systems of the Nechanolth language and the English language. This is something I've been doing research on, and I hope to write about. I haven't written up that research yet, but the basic finding is that Nechanolth does not have as many color words as English does. English has a large number of color words. And this seems to be, some people try to explain this by saying that industrial languages spoken in industrial societies tend to have more color words because they have to describe the same object that comes in different colors. And this tends to happen only when goods become mass produced. That's an interesting explanation. I don't know if it's true. But it does seem to be true that English has quite a lot of color words, not only the basic colors red, black, white, blue, green, yellow, but also orange, purple, gray, brown. Most Nechanolth dialects do not have have all these words. There are ways to express these colors in Uchanoth, but it's usually by comparing the color of something to something else in the environment. Saying Yapmapikak, the color of Salalberry, is an example of that. We lack a word for purple, so we reach for something in the environment that happens to be purple, and Salalberry is a good candidate for that. There's a lot more we could say about color, but the simplest thing I can say about it is that the only absolutely pure color words in Uchanoth are black, white, and red. Tupkak, Tlisuk, Tlehok. These words are virtually the same in every dialect. They mean the same thing. They refer only to color, not to other things. So these are clearly color words. Most other color words are compare one thing to another. Say, this is the color of that. So we're actually comparing real objects as opposed to abstract colors. The word for bald, that is having no hair on the head, is asqi. Asqi. Pharyngeal A-S-Q long I. Asqi. The root as seems to refer to having no hair, so it's the opposite of hup. Hup is the root for hair or fur. As is the opposite of that. And the ending k means on top. It's used both to describe the head of a person and the top of something tall. Like a mountain. When a mountain has snow on top, we say it's kwiske, kwiske, snow on top. So aski is literally bald on top, kwiske, snow on top. This adds up to three. This brings to three the number of suffixes we've used to describe the head. So when we talk about hair color, we usually use the suffix yik, as in tupkik, tsasik, klisik. But the word for bald uses the suffix k, as k. And sometimes when we talk about hair, we use the ending uml, as in yaksuml, nitsuml, tsasuml. These endings have different shades of meaning. So uml emphasizes the fact that our heads are round, k emphasizes the fact that they're at the top of the body, and yik is specifically about the hair, not the whole head, but just the hair. These are just three of the endings you need to understand in order to be able to talk about the body, what color the body is, whether it's big or small. Anytime we talk about the body, we have to consider whether we need to use one of these suffixes. And these are three of the suffixes we use with reference to the head. Komt, yik, ke. So our latest question is, what is the connection between tupkuk? That's East Barkley pronunciation of black. Tupkuk versus the root tupk. The root is tupk. So whenever we want to combine the meaning black with a suffixal meaning, we usually want to combine tupk with the suffix. And examples of that in Barkley dialect are tupkimh, black all over, tupkik, having black hair, tupkich, wearing black. So in every one of those cases, we're combining the root tupk with those suffixes. Now, importantly, the root tupk only combines with suffixes. Clitics are a different kind of ending. We've talked about the fact that clitics, when you have clitics and suffixes in the same word, the clitics always come after the suffixes. Another important property of clitics is that they only attach to already complete words. So anything you add a clitic to has to be something that can also stand alone as a word. Tupkuk is a standalone word, but tupk is not. So you can't add a clitic like ma directly to tupk. You have to add a suffix to it first, and then you can add a clitic to it. So you can say tupkukma, it is black. You cannot say tupkma, that is not a word of Nuchanov. Yeah, good question. How do we recognize roots? How do we know that the word tupkuk actually has two meaningful parts, the root tupk plus a suffix uk? The only way to know that is to compare two words with the same root or two words with the same suffix. So we can compare tupkuk to tlisuk. Those have the same suffix but different roots. And we can compare tupkuk to tupkimh. Those have the same root but different suffixes. So it's only by comparing related words that we can make that cut and say, okay, that must be where the root ends and the suffix begins. Sometimes we have a word where that we think is probably complex. It probably has a root and a suffix, but we can't draw the line because we don't have any other words to compare it to. So you always need at least two words in order to figure out where the line is. The suffix in Tupcook, East Barkly Sound Tupcook, every other dialect Tupcuck, that's just the plain old continuous aspect suffix. And that is the default way to complete a word in New Channel. So when you have a meaningful root that conveys the meaning you want, but that root can't stand alone, then the usual thing to do is to add an appropriate aspect suffix to it. By default, we add the continuous, but as we've seen, there are several other aspects in New Channel as well. Also, be aware of the fact that the continuous aspect suffixes uk uk sound more or less identical to the possessive clitics uk uk, and you have to tell from context which one it is. And you can also have both. For example, tup kukukma hupukas. Her car is black. Tup kukukma hupukas. That word has both the continuous uk and the possessive uk. I'm using my cats as examples because I love my cats. My current cat is a calico. I could say Tupcookma, she's black, or Tupcookskinma, she's a little bit black, which is true. I could not say Tupkimpma because she's not black all over. I did used to have a cat who was black all over. His name was Boo. I could say Tupkimpsita Boo. Boo was black all over. He was a completely black cat. Well, the suffix kems describes things with a round or chunky shape, and that is a general shape. So that applies to cubes, boxes, spheres, chubby babies, and animals. Those all fall under that category of shape. So when I say chunky, that's shorthand for all of these shapes. That are neither long and skinny nor flat. So yeah, that shape suffix imth on tupkimth, it implies that it is a three-dimensional object. It is not a flat piece of paper or a something long and skinny like a broomstick. It is something closer to a cube or a ball, not necessarily a perfect cube or ball, just a three-dimensional chunk of something. And it also implies that it is black all over on every side. That suffix means can m conveys all of those things, and it is not precise. It is rough in meaning. The meaning of that suffix can be adapted to different situations. So you shouldn't try too hard to make it mean the same thing as the English word chunky. I was about to say that I could also describe my current cat, Sophia, as tutupxus. Tutupxus. That means black at the eyes. Sus is the ending, the location ending for at the eyes. And that is the next ending I want to talk about, because we use that when we talk about wearing eyeglasses. This is one of the easiest ways to distinguish people from each other. So some of us wear glasses, some of us don't. It's convenient to be able to say he or she wears glasses, he or she does not wear glasses. And all dialects use the ending sus to build words for wearing eyeglasses, but they have different roots. In Barkly Sound dialects, the word is pipihsus, pipihsus. The root pih, as in piha, means looking, peeking, checking out. So pipihsus means for peeking at the eyes. It conveys that when we wear glasses, we look through them, and they help us see things. Pipihsus. So Charlotte wears glasses. Pipihsusma Charlotte. In central dialects, the word is kikituksus. Kikituksus. The root kit means to shatter, the way glass or china or sea urchins shatter. When you break them, kitluk is glass or china. That is what dishes are made out of, and kikituksuth means having glass at the eyes. Kikituksuth. In the north, the word is hetzheitnaksuth. Hetzheitnaksuth. The root there is heitna, meaning quartz. Quartz is a natural mineral that looks kind of like glass. So when Northern New Channel people first saw eyeglasses, they were comparing the glass to quartz when they describe people wearing eyeglasses as hetzheitnaksuth. So Barkly Sound dialect, she's wearing glasses. Pipihsuthma. Central dialect, she's wearing glasses. Kikitluksuthish. And northern dialect, Hetshenaksuthish. Whenever we have different, completely different words like this from dialect to dialect, it often suggests a new word, a word that has not been around for hundreds of years, but rather decades. So glasses, eyeglasses are a post-contact thing, which is why there are such different words for them from dialect to dialect. Blonde hair is also a post-contact thing. That is all I wanted to lecture about today. So we went through the words for Unit 18. Then we talked about how to describe people's height, whether they're tall or short in height, how to describe their hair, long, short, bald, how to describe hair color, how to describe skin color, and last, how to talk about wearing eyeglasses. So I unloaded a lot of words on you today. These are not all in your vocab list because I capped the vocab list in year two at 30 words, and we learned a lot more than 30 words. But what you should be learning right now is not just individual words, but rather individual roots and endings. The number of roots and endings is not that big. The number of possible words is very large. Nechanov has about something like 500 roots and 500 suffixes. Out of these 500 roots and 500 suffixes, we can make literally tens of thousands of words. The key here in learning this rich vocabulary that we've started dipping into for describing what people and things look like is not only to learn the words, and you do have to learn the words, but learn to recognize the roots and suffixes. If you know what the roots and the suffixes mean, you'll also be able to understand new words that you've never heard before, but which use familiar roots and suffixes. So, for example, if I described a car as tlehemlma hupukwasi, what would I mean? Tlehemlma hupukwasi. This is a word that we haven't discussed yet today, but we have discussed all of its parts. So someone please interpret that for me. The car is red all over. So you know from the root that it's red in color. You know from the suffix that it's red all over. That's its only color. The other major lesson from this unit is whenever we're talking about parts of the body, we often want a special word that includes a body part location suffix. And we saw a few of those today. Things at the eyes are described using the ending suth. Things at the head are described using qi and sometimes qimth. And hair specifically is described as yik. We've just had a suffix, a question about the suffix kuk. Here are some words using the suffix kuk. One is o-o-kuk. O-o-kuk uses the plain empty root. O-o-kuk means to resemble. So we could say o-o-kuk ma Charlotte Lena. Charlotte looks like Lena. O-o-kuk ma Charlotte Lena. To ask a question, we would say a-aki-kuk ha. What does he or she look like? A-aki-kuk ha. What does it look like? What does she look like? I also gave you the example of tlitlitzkuk, which is a word meaning flour, the kind of flour we bake with. That is made from the root for white and the suffix kuk. So literally, tlitlitzkuk means it looks white. We're also learning the general describing words mihe, similar, and its opposite, kuishen or kuishe. We can combine those roots with kuk as well. Mimilkuk means looks the same, mimilkuk, and quiquiskuk means looks different, quiquiskuk.